Welcome to this American Society of Hematology podcast for the hematologist, ASH News and Reports. In this installment, 2023 ASH Summit on Immunotherapies for Hematologic Diseases co-chair Dr. Terry Fry and the hematologist editor-in-chief Dr. Shaji Kumar have a conversation about what attendees can expect for this year's summit, taking place in person only. They discuss the current progress of immunotherapies for treating hematologic malignancies, some of the limitations for bringing these kinds of therapies to patients, manufacturing and regulatory issues, management of toxicities, and more, all to be specifically addressed during the summit. Dr. Terry Fry is a professor of pediatrics, co-director of the Human Immunology and Immunotherapy Initiative, and director of cancer immunotherapy at the University of Colorado School of Medicine in Denver. He indicated no relevant conflicts of interest. Dr. Shaji Kumar is a professor of medicine in the Division of Hematology at Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota. He indicated no relevant conflicts of interest. The ASH Summit on Immunotherapies for Hematologic Diseases is designed to provide a wide set of learning and networking opportunities for experts in hematology, including laboratory-based scientists, translational and clinical researchers, practitioners interested in the application of immunotherapies, trainees, cellular therapy, gene therapy, biopharmaceutical and life sciences industry experts, and regulatory sciences. The summit takes place March 2nd through 3rd, 2023 at the Omni Shoreham Hotel in Washington, D.C. Register today at www.hematology.org/meetings. Please note, ASH does not recommend or endorse any specific tests, physicians, products, procedures, or opinions, and disclaims any representation, warranty, or guarantee as to the same. Thank you for listening, and enjoy the conversation.
Hi, Dr. Fry. Thank you so much for joining this podcast. We certainly would love to hear a lot more about this upcoming immunotherapy summit. Can you give us a little overview?
Yeah, sure. First off, it's a pleasure to be here, and I look forward to the discussions about this upcoming summit, which I think is coming at a very opportune time in the field of immunotherapy. Recall that the first immunotherapy summit actually took place in 2018, and so that was right after the first approval for CAR T-cells for treatment of hematologic malignancies prior year. And so, since that time, obviously, as we know, there's been an explosion of approvals of immunotherapies that have now expanded far beyond, the original experience in oncology and are including, a large number of classic hematologic diseases. And so I think, this is a fantastic time to go back and revisit the field and sort of discuss what we've learned thus far and what the challenges are.
Certainly, it seems to be a very exciting time for immunotherapies after waiting for so long for all kinds of immune approaches. Now we have a plethora of immunotherapies for a whole host of hematological conditions, and especially heme malignancies. And what do you think are the kind of the key changes that made this happen?
I think there have been obviously advances in the science for sure that have, really turned this from something that was could be done on a small scale to something that could be implemented on a much larger scale. So I think that there's been scalability improvements that have allowed this to be expanded. I think there's been scientific advances that have actually, shed light on some of the reasons why, immunotherapies have not been effective in certain settings. And that's going to be one of the major topics of the summit. And then I think there have been a large number of, call them, regulatory processes that have enabled more rapid development of in the clinic. And so I think there have been improvements in science, manufacturing, scalability, and then obviously on the regulatory side. And, we look forward to having participants at the summit from all of those areas, including participation from our regulatory agency.
Yeah, certainly, as you said, it seems to be the right time to have one of these, especially since we haven't had one in 5 years now. What kind of an audience do you hope to reach out to? And you already mentioned the regulatory folks being there, but in terms of the practitioners out there, what are the main messages that you hope to get across?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that we really tried hard to do with this particular meeting, and this can be challenging in a 2-day meeting because there's a lot of material to cover, but was to try to incorporate all aspects of immunotherapy for hematologic diseases. You know, that is to say the growing clinical experience, which has really obviously been quite recent, as well as discussing the science. And then, as I mentioned, including the regulatory agency in the conversation. So we set up the conference in such a way that, you know, there's a little bit of something in there for everybody. And hopefully by doing not sequential sessions, you know, we all have an opportunity to get outside of our areas to hear about manufacturing, for example, even if it's not something that you spend a lot of time thinking about. If you're going to be delivering these therapies, it is important to understand what's going on in the manufacturing space. So I think it's an opportunity really to learn about immunotherapy across the entire swath of that field.
Yeah, it certainly looks very exciting, the whole breadth of the topics that are going to be discussed. And as you already mentioned, it seems to be geared to every individual who might be involved in this, including the providers and the regulators and the industry. How do you think these meetings or the summits like this would help get these immunotherapy products to the community and treating the patients in the community? That seems to be one of the biggest stumbling blocks in scaling this up right now.
I think you're referring to sort of the problem with access, you know, particularly in the context of therapies that are bespoke therapies. That is to say, you know, each product is a single product, is a separate product for each patient. You know, I think that there, as we're going to hear, you know, during the manufacturing session at the summit, I think there's been tremendous advances in that area. And we look forward to hearing about that. There's obviously been, you know, other opportunities to turn some of these therapies into true off-the-shelf therapies. That is, you know, the cellular therapies. Obviously, you know, the immunotherapies that are more protein-based, you know, are already scalable. So really that challenge that you just articulated is really in the cell and gene therapy manufacturing space. So I think that, as we're going to hear, I think there's been a lot of progress made there, but we hope that you know, by having a diverse group of participants and a diverse audience, that is to say diverse from the perspective of, you know, their background in the field, you know, I think it really gives us an opportunity to really understand the challenges in areas that may not be the areas that we think about every day, because I think the solutions are going to come from that dialogue.
Absolutely. Talking to the community practitioners, one of their main concerns is the management of toxicities. And again, some of the longer term toxicities, especially with CAR T type therapies, certainly induces anxiety in many of those individuals. Do you think there's going to be a focus in the summit to try and maybe make it convey, you know, how management of toxicity with these immunotherapies, is that something of a focus in the meeting?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, you know, we decided, you know, one of the sessions will really focus, you know, really on that topic specifically, and, you know, really a couple of different key elements of that. You know, one is really prediction, and then the other is management, because, you know, really understanding how to anticipate the toxicities, how to be prepared for them, going to be a key element of that. And obviously, you know, your ability to do that is to say to predict toxicities, really comes from having larger data sets of patients that have been treated. And I think we're beginning to get there. The other thing that we recognize is that, you know, for each of the new immunotherapies that are developed, there are unique expected toxicities that emerge, and there'll also be an opportunity to talk about some of those toxicities as well. I'll also comment that one of the things that we, you know, made a decision to do with this particular conference was, you know, given the exploding experience with gene therapy in particular in hemoglobinopathies, you know, and other classic hematologic diseases, is, you know, maybe not entirely considered an immunotherapy. Nonetheless, it utilizes sort of the gene modification of cells that is, you know, part of at least the subset of immunotherapy that involves CAR T cells. And so we made a, you know, very deliberate decision to have a session that we put together later planning to really capture a lot of the exploding data in that particular field as a part of it. And we recognize that there's going to be a completely different set of toxicities that are going to emerge in the context of those therapies, and look forward to talking more about that.
Are there sessions that allows for a lot more interaction between the various stakeholders here?
Yes. So, you know, one of the things that we tried to do was to allow for ample time for question and answer and panel discussions at the end of each of the sessions. We've also incorporated the sort of standard talks and some rapid fire talks during the sessions to allow for some of the abstracts that were submitted to be, you know, highlighted in the individual sessions. Obviously, a major focus with that has really been to try to capture the younger investigators in the field. And so that was a really, you know, important part for us was to have them as participants and to get their input. So yeah, we look forward to actually the sessions being interactive. And, you know, the chairs, as I said, will be coordinating a question and answer period at the end of each of the sessions so that we can, you know, the topics that come up.
You bring up a very important point with the young investigators and all the trainees, because we really to develop an entirely new set of workforce with a different skill set for the next decade when it comes to all these new therapies.
Yeah, that's absolutely the case. And, you know, I think just based on the abstracts that we've received, I mean, you know, there's certainly a lot of enthusiasm amongst that young investigators for, you know, the topic and the summit. So we look forward to having them front and center.
It's wonderful. How do you see this meeting evolving over the coming years? Is it going to be an annual thing now?
It won't be annual. I shouldn't say that definitively, because obviously ASH leadership will need to make that decision, but I don't see it being annually. You know, this summit was planned for about 2 years after the first summit. So 2018, obviously 2020 was not a time to hold a conference. And so this ended up being delayed by a few years. And, you know, we had a lot of conversation about doing this as a virtual meeting, and, you know, all the chairs and I think the staff at ASH were in agreement that for this type of a meeting, you know, having an in-person meeting and having an opportunity for face-to-face engagement and discussions was really important. And so we ended up, you know, delaying by a couple of years, really, so that we would be at a time that we could have that sort of a meeting.
Yeah, looking at the agenda, it certainly seems like it was worth the wait. Any other key messages that you want to share with the audience, Dr. Frey?
Yeah, I mean, I think the other thing that we've recognized, you know, as part of the conference is that, you know, obviously immunotherapy has, you know, come to the forefront again, really the last 3 to 5 years. The field has been built upon decades of foundational science and clinical, you know, some clinical experience, albeit limited, you know, et cetera. And so one of the things that we, you know, we're really trying hard to do, particularly with the keynote and some of the introductory presentations in each of the sessions, is to provide a little bit of background and context before we get into, you know, sort of the meat of the topics, the current topics, because I think that can be extremely important when you begin to think about how to address some of the challenges. So that's one of the things that we built in to the session. The other thing that we did, which, you know, again, was challenging, but I think was important, was for a lot of the sessions, we actually didn't separate out. In fact, for all the sessions, really, we did not separate out a malignant classical hematology. We really tried to incorporate elements of both into each of the session. I mean, obviously, there are places where some of the toxicities, for example, might be unique to one or the other. We felt it was very important to have dialogue and interaction between folks that are working in the malignant hematology space and folks that are working in the classical hematology space. I mean, obviously, ASH as a society, one of the primary goals is to advance treatment and science in both of those areas. And so we think that different from many of the other immunotherapy programs that are out there that have been largely focused on malignant hematology, it was very important for us to make sure that all that elements of classic hematology were not only part of the conference, but integrated into the entire conference.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for taking the time to share the details about the summit. Look forward to it and all the best for a successful summit.
Yeah, thank you very much. We look forward to having everybody there. And I guess, you know, as a final set of comments, I think that, you know, one of the other elements that failed to mention earlier was that you'll see that, you know, in the agenda that there are sessions that are actually co-sponsored by two different societies. And I think, you know, one of the things that we've really worked hard to do is to try to recognize that, you know, there's important work being done across multiple societies. And so we attempted to incorporate some elements of that into the general session, into the sessions in this meeting. And so I think that's another, you know, element of this that will be important. You know, we think that the output, you know, after the summit is completed, I mean, we will certainly be capturing notes and conversations, et cetera. And, you know, we're hoping that this will result in some sort of a white paper output that, you know, can be used as a jumping ground for other activities within the society.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast of the American Society of Hematology. For more information, visit www.hematology.org. Subscribe to this podcast via Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Join us in March for another podcast from The Hematologist.